You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Thursday, January 17th, 2019. Your boy Q here with you at your boy Q254 on Twitter is where you can find me. Many of you do. And matter of fact, in segment number one, I'm going to talk about something that I actually got into and had a little bit of discussion on Twitter. So again, you can have a lot of good conversations on Twitter. You can have a lot of bad conversations on Twitter, but you can have some good ones on Twitter. If you ever want to hit me up at your boy Q254, I definitely appreciate everybody who reaches out, and I will get back to you ASAP. Coming up on today's episode in segment number two and segment number three, I got a lot of feedback, got a lot of calls on that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, a lot of great feedback on everything that we've been talking about. Matter of fact, the last few weeks, I mean, from everything, from Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, to Dwayne Haskins, to free agents, to all kind of guys that you should draft in the first round, second round, what you should do with the team. I mean, everything. Lots of great feedback from Raider Nation. I'm telling you, man, the offseason is on and popping on the Locked On Raider podcast. And I'll tell you right now, like, we get newsletters all the time from the Locked On Network, and they kind of tell us, you know, who's the most listened to podcast and who's the most downloaded and all that other good stuff. And my numbers are never, like, all the way up there. But they're pretty stinking good. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what the other discussions are on the other podcast, because I'm just worried about what we're doing over here on the Locked On Raider podcast. But I'll tell you right now, I would struggle to find someone, another network or another podcast, that's having a better conversation than we're having on the Locked On Raiders podcast. And that's not disrespecting anybody. Obviously, the teams that are still playing, the final four teams that are still playing, and obviously whoever goes to the Super Bowl, there's going to be some good conversations, some real good conversations. But for a team that won four games in the regular season, I think we have a pretty good, not only podcast throughout the regular season, but damn it, we're having a great offseason as well. So hats off to you. I know a lot of people have called in and said the same thing. I just wanted to reiterate that and let you know that nothing is ever unappreciated as far as I go. Anytime that you reach out, anytime that you download, anytime you listen or suggest the podcast to someone, and I've seen that happen as well on Twitter, where people say, hey, you need to check out this podcast, it's really good. Anytime you do that, Raider Nation, it does not go unnoticed, and I really, really appreciate that. Again, I say all that to tell you, in segment number two and segment number three, got a lot of good phone calls that I want to get to, and a lot of good opinions, you know, responses to a lot of questions. I mean, everything. That's coming up in segment number two and also segment number three. Right here, segment number one, I want to finish off with that conversation that I was having on Twitter on Wednesday afternoon. And basically what happened is Paul Gutierrez, the one who was never able to get back to me about joining us on the podcast, but that's okay. You know, I'm not holding that against him. You know, I'm being better than that. Anyway, he asked on Twitter if Raider Nation would be interested in Ed Oliver. He's from Houston. He's the nose tackle. He's kind of undersized as a nose tackle, but at Houston, he was perfect for that. He was really, really good at Houston. He's a heck of a player. I think he's going to have a really nice career in the league. And so my simple response was, he's a Joel Siegel client, so probably not. And if you don't know what that means, Joel Siegel clients, Ed Oliver, obviously from Houston, Khalil Mack, Joel Siegel client, Amari Cooper, Joel Siegel client, Carl Joseph, Joel Siegel client. And we saw what happened with Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper. And anyone who read that piece that Paul Gutierrez put out there saw and read that Mark Davis had a real issue and beef with Joel Siegel. And, I mean, they got to the point where it was almost sounded like a relationship that couldn't be fixed. And I'm not trying to say this is what's going to happen. This is just my gut feeling. And I told you, Raider Nation, about my gut feeling. That's what I go with 100% of the times, no questions asked. My gut feeling is that's going to prevent the Raiders from drafting guys that are Joel Siegel guys. Well, Ed Oliver happens to be a Joel Siegel guy. I didn't know Josh Allen from Kentucky was a Joel Siegel guy as well. Well, it doesn't make me feel good about the Raiders drafting either one of those two, and I wouldn't mind seeing Josh Allen. Ed Oliver, I don't think that the Raiders need. I think he's going to be a good player, but I don't think the Raiders need him. If they're going to get a guy for the interior push, I'd rather see them get Quinnen Williams. But that's just me. That's just me. I know a lot of Raider Nation would love to see Ed Oliver. I do know Ed Oliver had some knee issues that he was dealing with towards the end of his career at Houston, and I know that a lot of it also was being just protective of himself as he prepares for the NFL draft and the combine and all that good stuff. But I just kind of, I don't know, I just didn't think that Ed Oliver would be a good fit with the Raiders. But, I mean, either way, knowing that he's a Joel Siegel guy, I just feel like that's going to prevent the Raiders from drafting him. And again, I'm not going to say that that's happening, and I'm not trying to be smart about the situation. I'm not trying to be extra about it. I'm just saying, with the way that it sounded by reading Paul Gutierrez's piece when he sat down with Mark Davis one-on-one and basically said that they moved on from Khalil Mack because he wasn't going to come in and honor his fifth-year option. And also, Joel Siegel was pushing Amari Cooper to do the same thing the following year because he was pissed off at Mark. Mark was pissed off at him. That doesn't sound like a healthy relationship to me. You know what I mean? It's just, it's one of those situations. It's kind of like back in the day when I had a girlfriend or I dated this girl, and then all of a sudden, like, I saw this other girl, and they're, oh, she's, you know, she's related to so-and-so. Oh, yeah, I don't know if I want to date them. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I want to date her because, yeah, she's part of that family. That family's crazy. You know what I'm saying? And, hey, no disrespect, but that's just how it goes. You know, you've gotten that, or even, you know, girls back in the day used to be like, I'm not messing with no Scorpio because Scorpios are crazy. Well, I happen to be a Scorpio, so I heard that all the time. But that's a whole nother subject. I'm just saying, sometimes when you feel like you've been burned by somebody or, you know, a certain type of person, you kind of tend to stay away from that type of person, right? Well, it sounded to me, and it's just to me, Joel Siegel clients are not somebody that the Raiders want. So I got kind of killed on Twitter. People were hitting me up and they were, oh yeah, okay, that's just like, that's such a Raider thing to do. Why would you not draft somebody based off their agent? I'm not saying it's a good idea. I'm not saying that that's what I want. I'm just saying that that's what I think is going to happen. And Raider Nation, let me put it out there. I don't get offended by what you say on Twitter. I'm not trying to start no beef. All I do on Twitter is share my opinion. And I receive your opinion. So if you disagree with me, that's fine. But, you know, some people were trying to come after me at first, like coming after my helmet, like I was really, you know, popping off or something. And I was like, hey, man, I actually agree with what you're saying. I'm just telling you what my gut feeling and from what I read, what I'm taking away from that. I'm taking away that Joel Siegel clients are not something that Mark Davis wants to deal with. So one response was, oh, well, Carl Joseph is a Joel Siegel client. What, we can't re-sign him? And I thought, well, I don't know. I mean, he's got a year or so left on his deal. I know that the Raiders really did try to move on from him. Now all of a sudden he looks like he could be a player. So that could end up being a problem. We'll have to wait and see, right? I don't know. I'm just telling you, when Amari Cooper got traded, what was one of the one reasons I said he was going to get traded? Because he's a Joel Siegel client. He got traded. He got moved on from. They sent him to Dallas. We all know the rest of the story. So that's what I'm saying. So as we prepare, and I don't know, Joel Siegel is a hell of a agent. Let me tell you right now. He knows how to get his guys money. If you go and look at all the guys that he represents, most of them are all really well paid because he takes really, really good care of them. He does what he has to do, just like he did with Khalil Mack. The Raiders were trying to make Khalil Mack the highest paid defensive player. And he said, oh, $70 million guaranteed? Nah, we can get 90. You know what I'm saying? And he did. He went out and got $90 million. And kudos to him. I'm not mad at any guy, any player who goes out and makes his money. I'm not. I'm not mad at anybody in any walk of life that goes out and makes the money. Whatever your job is right now, Raider Nation, anyone listening to this podcast, whatever your job is, if you have an opportunity to make a whole lot more than what you're making right now, go get it. Go get it. I'll tell you right now, if I had the opportunity to go make more than I'm making right now, even though I love my job and it was in the same field, I would think long and hard about it. I'm not being unloyal. It's just reality, man. Money makes the world go round. What did Wu-Tang say back in the day? Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, y'all. Yeah, they weren't lying. And I'm not hating. I'm not at all. So I'm not mad at guys that go out and get their money, especially in a sport like football where we all know it could be over in one play. Look at Ryan Shazier. Kudos to the Pittsburgh Steelers that still got him on the payroll. And look like they're going to re-sign him on the payroll. That dude will probably never play football again, but he believes he will. He's out there rehabbing. They about to try to re-sign him for another year. Kudos to the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got a lot of issues with AB, Mike Tomlin, Le'Veon Bell, all the issues that they, Big Ben. They got a lot of issues, but their ownership, their front office, kudos to them, man. That man gave everything he had and probably will never, ever play the game. If you see Ryan Shazier walking, I saw him up close and personal at the draft in 2018. He wasn't looking good. But he was trying. He was out there trying. That's what that game will do to you. So you could be one play away no matter who you are, no matter how strong you are, no matter how fast you are. You could be one play away. So I'm not mad at anyone who goes out there and gets their money. Go get that guarantee money. Whatever the guarantee money, that's the only thing, that's the only number that matters. So go get that money. Not mad at you. Not mad at Derek Carr for getting that big fat contract, $70 million something guaranteed. Does he deserve it? Nah, probably not, but he's one play away. So big ups to him. If anyone wants to give me a lot of guaranteed money, you can hit me up at your boy Q254. Hell, you can call me. Nah, but seriously. So I say all that to say, I just think that Joel Siegel clients, where they may not be 100% off the list, where you can't, they're not going to draft you just because of that, they also may be 100% off the list. They just might. Mark Davis' team seems to kind of, you know, be one of those guys that really gets into his feelings and really digs in. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's good or bad. Good for the team or bad for the team. Sometimes, you know, you got to be tougher than that. Sometimes you can't let them see you sweat. That's what my mom used to tell me. Don't let them see you sweat, son. That's real. It's a simple statement. It's an old school statement, but it's real. So I'm just throwing that out there. And again, if you ever hit me up on Twitter and I don't agree with something that you're saying, I'm not coming for your neck. We're just going back and forth because that's what we do. And that's what that platform should be for. So I just wanted to touch on that and we'll see how it shakes out. But as of right now, I know for a fact that Ed Oliver is a Joel Siegel guy. I know Josh Allen from Kentucky is a Joel Siegel guy. I don't know if either one of those guys are in play for the Raiders. I would think not because of that. We'll see. The draft is less than 100 days away from now. So, coming up in segment number two, I got calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Got a lot of good stuff I got to get to. 707-654-4693. That is the number. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Every day.
Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two on today's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. It's Thursday, January 17th, 2019. Calls from that Locked On Raider podcast, that's what you're about to hear right now. Going to put those in your eardrums. 707-654-4693. Going to start things off with my man, Brother Marquise in the 305, representing Miami one time. He had a really good call based on Kyler Murray and where all the hype might be coming from. And he has somewhat of an inside track on it. It's a really good call, really good perspective. Brother Marquise repping that 305 Miami one time.
Shout out to Raider Nation. It's Brother Marquise down in Miami. Q, I'm calling in response to your question about Kyler Murray. I'm lucky enough to have an interesting inside source here on this one. My uncle actually is an NFL scout, and he actually was a scout for the Raiders for, as I believe, 2 years, or maybe it was a year and a half, back in 2008, I believe. Anyway, I talked to him about Kyler Murray because I was curious in what he thought, and he actually told me that he doesn't believe that NFL teams are as high on him as the media is suggesting. He thinks he'll be a first-round pick just because he's a quarterback, but not based on talent, not based on, I don't know if talent's not the right word, not based on, you know, where they would rank him on their draft boards. He says that his size is, people are understating how small he is. Guy's probably around 180, 185. 190, even Russell Wilson, although they may share height similarities, even though Kyler Murray is shorter than Russell Wilson, probably by an inch or so. He's also probably 20 pounds lighter, 20 to 25 pounds lighter than Russell Wilson is now. So he said that is a big issue, a bigger issue than the media knows. He also says that he's more of a point and shoot passer, meaning that he doesn't throw in anticipation. He's got a great arm, so he waits for people to get open and then throws the ball. He says that kind of thing is not going to lead to a successful career unless he's able to fix that at the next level. So with all that being said, I think you got to stick with Derek Carr, especially for Kyler Murray, and thoughts for Raider Nation. But I'm happy with that. I think Derek Carr, we need to give him another chance, as I've stated before. All right. Talk to you later, Keith. Thanks.
Great call right there from my man, Brother Marquise. And I have to agree 100%, man. I do think that a lot of the hype behind Kyler Murray and possibly being a first-round draft pick is media-driven. And I don't mean me media. I mean, like, big guys that, like, are Adam Schefters and Ian Rappaports and those cats. You know, guys like that. I'm on the radio questioning him being a first-round draft pick. So I don't think it's guys like me, but I do understand where you're coming from. And great to have that nice inside track on it. Thanks a lot for that. I really appreciate that. Now, my man Tom from Escondido, got to say that right, Escondido, he's calling about his favorite Raiders game and actually gives us two of them. Not necessarily good because of the outcome, but good because of the times he had. Here's my man Tom.
Hey Q, this is Tom from Escondido. I heard the call out about what your favorite Raider game was, and I had two. One was 2 years ago. I took my 14-year-old son. We flew up to the Raider game with the Raider image beforehand. Got to meet my idol, Lincoln Kennedy, because we share a last name. I actually had a Kennedy jersey, number 72, in my suitcase, pull it up, came out, he signed it for us. We lost the game, but it's probably the first and only Raider game my son will ever be able to see at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. The second one was the 2003 AFC Championship game, was the 2002 season. Flew my wife up for that one. That was awesome. Beat the Titans, went to the Super Bowl, fell on our face, but watching the team get that Lamar Hunt trophy on the field after that game and the party that went on the parking lot was off the chains. Excellent experiences. Raider Tom out.
Appreciate that, Tom. Tom from Escondido. And I remember on Twitter, man, actually, when you went to that London game, I remember you hit me up with a couple pictures and everything because that was about as close as I was going to get to London. So glad you had a good time at that game. I'm still kind of sitting on when my favorite Raider game was because I'll tell you right now, it's so hard to narrow it down. I had so many good times at Raider games. I mean, man, oh, man, just family and friends and going there with Mama Q and going there with Little Q and Littler Q and you know what I'm saying? And I told you before about my homeboy Daniel and his sister Erica and, you know, we used to go out there and we all used to go and hang out, man, at the games. And Victor Zaragoza, you know, I've had a lot of good tailgates with him and a lot of good time. My man Corey, even though he's not even a Raider fan, we had a lot of good times with him. I mean, dog, it's so hard to just narrow it down. J.C. Raider from Utah, he's up next. He's responding to Akeem in Oakland's call from Monday. J.C. is way behind. He's only on Monday, so J.C., you got to catch up, brother. He's talking about that list that Akeem was talking about better Raider quarterbacks than Derek Carr. Here's J.C. Raider from Utah.
Hey, Q, this is J.C. Raider out of Utah. I just had to respond to Akeem's call that he made on Monday. I'm still on Monday. I'm still trying to catch up. But anyway, he said, let's make a list of quarterbacks that are better than Derek Carr, and he had him ranked at 15. Let's say even give him 15. Okay, I'll give him 15. But I want you, Akeem, to make a list. Are you ready? Get your pencil ready, though you might not need it. This list is a list of better Raider quarterbacks than Derek Carr since Rich Gannon. Are you ready? I'll wait. I don't know. I don't see any. But anyway, that's the point I wanted to make. What makes you think we're just going to get lucky and hit that lotto and get the top five quarterback? And I am personally of the opinion that now that Carr is starting to grasp Gruden's system, which I think we've seen that towards the end of the season there, that he can get up in that top 10 echelon of quarterbacks. And I think, yeah, that's enough for the Raiders to go all the way. I really think so, if we get some more pieces around him. So, anyway, that's where I stand. And, yeah, I'm kind of getting burnt on the whole Derek Carr conversation, but that's just wanted to throw that in there. But I do appreciate your opinion and everybody's, and love the podcast. It's great to listen to it. And I'm out.
Good stuff, JC. Good stuff. Appreciate you. And hurry up and catch up, man. You got to catch up. I want you to catch up before the week is over, all right? Just do like chain smoking. But you're not smoking. You're chain listening. There it is. All right, and we're going to close out segment number two right now. My man John Train out the ATL. He's a first-time caller. He's calling, talking about the offseason in general because this offseason is so big for the Raiders. He's talking about positions that need to be upgraded. My man John Train from the ATL.
Q, what up, man? This is your boy John Train calling from Atlanta. I've been listening to you all year, man. It's my first time calling. Just want to say you're doing a great job, man. I appreciate you doing this every day for the Raider Nation. Definitely doing a great job, man. So just keep it up, man. I know you got the voice for this thing here, and I'm interested to see how, you know, your career progresses. But I wanted to call in today just to give you my take on the offseason this year because I feel like this is a really, really important offseason for the Raiders. I got about six or seven different positions that I feel have to be significantly upgraded for this team to even be competitive next year. So the first one would be safety, Eric Harris. I think he's got to go, man. I think he's a backup at best. He's a kind of player, man, that knows the defense, but really doesn't have the speed or the playmaking ability to get to the right spot at all times. And his open field tackling, man, is terrible. Even though I love the story. I think he's a good player, good teammate. He's really nothing more than a special teams dude. Next position is linebacker. Tyre Whitehead is kind of the same thing as Eric Harris. For me, Tyre Whitehead, man, he's basically C.O. Moore with a six-pack. That's what I call him, C.O. Moore with a six-pack. He's a real rah-rah kind of, you know, team coach-friendly kind of guy, always saying the right things that the coaches love. So I know they're going to keep him, but I'd rather not see him out there, man. There's so many times where he's just missing tackles, dropping interceptions. Like, I can only remember maybe one or two plays he made even all season. The next one, I got Frosty Rucker, man. Now, with agent 50, going from agent 52 to Frosty Rucker, that's a pretty steep, you know, decline. So you know your defense is in trouble when that happens. But, you know, more so than the sacks, the thing I miss about Khalil Mack, man, is the way that man used to set that edge, man. That was a thing of beauty, man. The way he used to set the edge, stop the runner in the backfield. I'm so many times this year, man, we see the running back just scoop right around that edge, man. And it was just like taking candy from a baby. So definitely need a defensive end who can get to the quarterback some. But almost even more importantly, man, you got to set that edge on both sides. So hopefully Arden Key is hitting the weight room and we can actually get a couple defensive ends that, you know, can actually have an effect in the run game as well as rushing the passer. Offensive tackle, once again, the right side is a huge issue. Brandon Parker, man, he's not an offensive tackle in this league, not a starter anyway. At best, he's a swing tackle. He might get better this offseason. Maybe he gets stronger. But from what I've seen so far, man, he's just not even close. Marcel Aitman, we need a wide receiver. We need a true number one wide receiver, whether it be through the draft or free agency. I don't know. But we can't go into camp thinking that Marcel Aitman is going to be a starting wide receiver for us. Dude is just slow. Then, of course, your boy Johnny Townsend. I can't remember ever seeing a kicker perform as badly as him and not get cut. The last position I got is backup quarterback. I think that Derek Carr needs a message. I think they need to send a message to our boy Derek Carr. I think he's earned the right to play next year as a starter for this team, but they need to be, you know, training his backup. So a backup quarterback drafted in the second, third round or something like that, I think would be a good idea. Unless they keep A.J. McCarron, which all signs point to no, they probably won't keep him. But the main question, man, with all this, is John Gruden even capable of pulling this off? Because from what I've seen so far over the last year, everything he's done is backfired. So hopefully, man, he's eating some humble pie. He's going to listen to his advisors and get this thing back on track. Appreciate the time, man. Interested to see what the rest of Raider Nation has to say about that. And, yeah, be easy.
Great call right there from John Train in the ATL, first-time caller. And he might be a guy that I run into at the end of the month for the Super Bowl because I will be in the ATL for a whole week, brother. So I might have to hit you up when I get to town, and you might have to show me around a little something. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, appreciate that call. He had a lot of good points in there, and he put out there a good question that he wanted Raider Nation to answer, and me as well. He feels like everything Gruden has done has backfired, so he wants to know if Raider Nation thinks John Gruden could pull off all the upgrades that they need. That's a good question. That's a damn good question. I personally think now that Mike Mayock is in the fold and they're on the same page, I absolutely think that this can be turned around and could work out because, again, these guys are on the same page. They're not, you know, fighting each other, not trying to say whose stones are bigger than the other stones. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all one thing. It don't matter who gets the credit for it. It's just about going out and making this team, getting this team back to being the team that John Gruden fell in love with, the Raiders. You know what I mean? So I think it's possible. Like I said, Mike Mayock is going to have a lot of say as far as the draft goes just because he knows these players so well. So I think that it is possible, but it's got to shake out. And I've said it many times before, this is probably the most important draft that the Raiders have had in the history of the team. But Raider Nation, what do you think? Can John Gruden get this thing turned around. Do you have confidence in John Gruden, Mike Mayock, and the rest of the front office to get this thing where it needs to go, either through the draft, free agency, everything? 707-654-4693. Coming up in segment number three, I got more calls from that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. That's how we do.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team. Every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, final segment on this Thursday, final segment of the Locked On Raider podcast, not only on a Thursday, but it's a thirsty Thursday. And Raider Nation, I celebrate Thirsty Thursday every single Thursday. Shout out to John Smith, John Smith Jr. Shout out to my man Paul. Shout out to my man Otis. Anyway, those are all cats that I'll be hanging out with a little bit later on this afternoon at Walk-Ons. That's where we'll be. Usually, it used to be Hooters, but we all know that Hooters ain't what it used to be back in the day. Back in the day, no joke, and I know this has nothing to do with the Raiders, my dad took me to Hooters for the first time when I was a young man, like really, really young. He took me to Hooters in Vegas. We were on a trip to Vegas. I wasn't even old enough to enjoy Vegas, but he took me to Hooters in Vegas, and it was the greatest thing ever. It was like I was in a playground. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was almost like I was at McDonald's playground, and it was awesome. I wasn't that young to be at a McDonald's playground, but still, I was young enough where I couldn't enjoy Vegas. But man, we went to Hooters, and that's when the wings were really, 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 really good. Remember that? Back in the day when those wings were like, damn, they're good. Well, we all know that it ain't what it used to be, but shout out to my dad for taking me to Hooters. Every dad needs to take their sons to Hooters at one point, or a place like Hooters, because, I mean, there's a lot of new places that are as good as Hooters or a lot better these days. I'm just going ahead and throw that out there. I guess this does relate to the Raiders because Mark Davis is a big Hooters fan. He goes to that one right there in Dublin. Yeah, you know where it's at. Well, if you're on the West Coast, you know where it's at. But anyway, just again, take your kids to Hooters or take your kids to some place where there's some good-looking women because they're going to get there anyway. So you need to show them and you need to take them first. Fathers, that is your responsibility. All right, now that I threw that disclaimer out there, let's get back to that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with Nico in North Jersey. He's responded to the Kyler Murray question after listening to the latest podcast. He addresses Raider Baconator. He has some stats and numbers to back up his opinion. He's pretty fired up about his call. He also had another reason to call, and that's about making the roster better and how the Raiders could do exactly that with the draft and free agency. Here's Nico in North Jersey.
Yo, Q, it's your boy Nico from North Jersey. Just listened to your podcast, the most recent one, the Wednesday one about Kyler Murray and all that talk. Raider Baconator had something to say again. Again, I don't really understand why people keep talking about this. I mean, he already got ripped to shreds about his Dwayne Haskins take, and now he's switching over to Kyler Murray because he's the next new thing. It just doesn't make any sense to me. You know my stance. Everyone who listens to this podcast knows my stance on Derek Carr and how great I think he can be. And with time and the same system, he will prove that to you guys. But I had to call and just throw out some stats. It made me research a couple things. Just numbers I had to research because I knew in my head what I wanted to say. So since 2000, and I'm going to go, you know, again, 18 years. Since 2000, all right, Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, okay? Everyone wants to talk about Kyler Murray, escapability. Oh, my God, Patrick Mahomes, escapability, all this stuff, okay? Listen to this list, okay, from 2000 to now, the quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl and how incapable they are at escapability. Right at the top of the list, Tom Brady with 5 Super Bowl wins. How escapable is he? Drew Brees, he's got a win. How escapable is he? Peyton Manning with 2 wins. Joe Flacco with 1. Eli Manning with 2. Ben Roethlisberger, yeah, the guy's big, but don't tell me he's running for first downs. He's just big and hard to take down. He's got 2 wins. Brad Johnson, we know everything about that. How escapable is he? He's got a win. Trent Dilfer, he's got 1. And Kurt Warner, he's got 1. All those people have Super Bowl wins, and none of them are the big escape artists. The 2 quarterbacks that have escapability, that have won a Super Bowl since 2000, are Cam Newton with 1 and Russell Wilson with 1. And I don't really know if anybody knows the team that they had when they won, but both of those teams were big defensive teams, especially Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. And they relied extremely heavily on Marshawn Lynch. So don't go telling me we need this quarterback that can run, you know, like lightning, okay? Don't tell me we need this kid, okay? Stop. Stop with that. The reason I want to call, aside from telling you all that nonsense, about escapability and how much it doesn't relate to the NFL. Yeah, wow, Patrick Mahomes, he's doing great right now. How about Andy Reid? How about it's that offense? And it's that offensive scheme. How about it's that? Stop telling me about escapability and why we should get Kyler Murray. Okay, stop with that. Just enough. Derek Carr is our guy. He's going to be our guy this year. He's going to be our guy next year. And hopefully we don't have to talk another damn sentence about Derek Carr after next year. He's going to have another year under his belt, and he's going to prove to you guys that he's a quarterback of the future, bringing the Raiders to Vegas, rolling in Vegas. Now, my real reason to call right now, aside from this Kyler Murray talk and not wanting him, okay, not wanting to waste draft capital, valuable draft capital on Kyler Murray, 5'9", Kyler Murray, or any quarterback, okay, we need all of the picks we can get to load this defense up, okay, to load this defense up. Free agency and the draft, we need to load this defense up. I did a little research today, okay, on these free agents, pending free agents this year. Tell me you wouldn't want a guy like Trey Flowers or Frank Clark, okay, or Brandon Graham, DeMarcus Lawrence, although he might get franchise tag, Anza, pair him with a D Ford or CJ Mosley, okay? Pair him with a Grady Jarrett, okay? Pair him, Earl Thomas, Matthew, Joyner, Landon Collins, all of these kids through free agency, and then you add again with the draft, a Josh Allen, a Quinton Williams, a Clown Farrell, okay? And then with the next pick, the next pick, you go Mac Wilson or a linebacker, okay? Devin Bush or a Trayvon Mullen at corner, a Greedy Williams if he falls. Then you pair that with a safety with the last pick, Rapp, Deontay Thompson. There's so many kids to get. There's so many kids to get. We got four picks in the top 35. We cannot be wasting that pick with a quarterback when we already have one. When we already have one that's established in this league that has 5-6 years of experience. He's awesome off the field. He's a leader for this team. Enough with Kyler Murray. Enough with Dwayne Haskins. Enough with any quarterback talk for this year. Just enough with it. How about the Indianapolis Colts? Indianapolis Colts, they were a laughingstock last year. Yeah, they didn't have Andrew Luck playing. They switched their team around, 180. And don't tell me it was just because Andrew Luck came back. Don't tell me it was just because they got Frank Wright. They had two all-pro draft picks. Two. Tell me we don't have the ammunition to do that same thing, to get two all-pros, one all-pro, three all-pro. I don't care. We got four picks in the top 35, and that's just in the draft. And that's just in the first two rounds, let alone the rest of the rounds in the draft. And free agency with the boatload of cash we got. We are in a good spot, man. We are in a good spot for next year, progressing. And then finally, as I've been saying it all year, 2020, he's got a vision. Have some faith. Stop doubting Carr. Stop doubting Gruden. Stop doubting all this stuff, man. I'm telling you. I am telling you, Q. I'm telling you, Raider Nation. You guys need to hear this, man.
All right, great stuff right there from my man Nico in North Jersey. And all I will say, the one stat that you had wrong was when you were talking about Cam Newton winning a Super Bowl, when you talked about quarterbacks with escapability, and you said Cam Newton and Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson won one. Cam lost. Remember, he lost Super Bowl 50 to the Broncos, so he didn't win one. He ain't won one. And who knows when he's going to get there again, if he ever gets there again. So that was the one thing that you said wrong on that call, Nico, but I understood your point. So great stuff right there. Now, my man Raider Joe in KC, he's real short but sweet on this call. He's talking directly at the most known unknown in Philly.
Q, it's your boy Raider Joe, you know, representing KC. You know, normally I'm pretty long-winded, but I want to keep this nice and sweet. Nice, short, and sweet. Most known unknown, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everything you said about Derek Carr, spot on the money. Thank you.
Nice stuff right there. Short and sweet, but a good call either way. Central Valley Raider. He's calling about the calls he's hearing about Derek Carr and also that call that most known unknown brought to the table. His phone was a little screwy and a little messed up at the end of his call, but I think you get the idea. Here's my man, Central Valley Raider.
What's going on, Q? This is Central Valley Raider again. I don't know what happened to my call, but I was sure going to call back. Anyways, what I was saying is I'm hearing a lot of people talking about trading Carr, getting this cat Haskins. You know, I believe it was that cat from Philly that stated that a lot of other teams, Carr seems to be the perfect fit for the Giants, for the Jaguars. It's made a lot of sense. I totally believe that myself. You know, get into a new system. If any of us who call this podcast know, it takes a minute to understand the nuances, the verbiage, and whatnot. I don't care how long you've been in this game. Okay, you ask any veteran quarterback, they'll tell you this. Carr has been dealt 4 or 5 different OCs since he's been in this, in the league. So I am defending Carr on that. Now, does he make bonehead plays? Of course, yeah. Did Bruce Arians say that, you know, he's a 5-year pro, he should be making those mistakes? You know, how many mistakes did Ben Roethlisberger make when he was his OC? You know, it's easier to say that when you're in another position and you're talking about another quarterback. So, yeah, I am defending Carr on that. I am from the Central Valley. I'm about 35 minutes, 40 minutes from Carr's hometown. So, yes. But I'm going to tell you right now, we need to get about trading out of our mouth and our mind, because he ain't going nowhere. This year, I have a feeling Carr is going to be more comfortable. They're going to actually give him some weapons. Everybody's talking about going defense. Gruden understands that offense is what makes this league go. I would not be surprised if 2 out of 3 picks, if we don't trade them to another team, could be offensive players. As bad as we need defense, you know Gruden, I know Gruden, loves veteran players. He'll get a Mosley, he'll get some other cats through the free agency pass rushers. He's not going to believe in a rookie pass rusher, okay? That's my beliefs. Don't be surprised if we go get a right tackle. We bump down, we get a right tackle. And those late picks, we get a wide receiver and a running back. Not talking crazy, but Cook might not come back. We got that tight end from the Ravens who showed some things. So that's just my thoughts, man.
Great stuff right there from Central Valley Raider. And basically, we're going to keep it on the 99 or keep it up and down the 99 with this final call of segment number 3 on this Thirsty Thursday on this Locked On Raider podcast. My man Richard from Stockton calling about the possibility of picking up Antonio Brown. He brings up some good points regarding his contract. Also, talks about something I talked about in segment number 1 and something I was taking quite a bit of time on Twitter on Wednesday about, and that's Joel Siegel, guys. Here's my man Richard from Stockton.
Hey, what's up, Q? What's up, Raider Nation? This is Richard calling from Stockton. I just had two things I want to speak on, kind of related. First thing is the prospect of acquiring Antonio Brown. I believe that's going to happen. The Raiders seem like the most logical choice if you kind of think it through. Raiders have Antonio Brown. First thing, a lot of people are saying Antonio Brown makes too much money, and that's just simply not true. His contract is a 3-year. His remaining contract is 3 years, $39 million, if you're including the March 17th roster bonus that he's due, which is like $2.5 million, which that's an important date because basically I believe the Steelers are going to want to unload him before that date. That means whoever team trades for him will have to pay that contract. Now, assuming that Antonio Brown will play under that deal moving forward, I think it's a great pickup because you get one of the best receivers in the game, if not the best, on a discount deal. You know, the Steelers already ate, you know, the signing bonuses and everything besides that roster bonus that hasn't paid out yet. You know, the Raiders would actually benefit on acquiring that player, caliber player, at 3 years, $39 million, which is totally different from, say, paying like a Khalil Mack, you know, 5-6 years, $130 million, whatever, you know, whatever kind of deal he got. You know, that's for a cash-strapped team like the Raiders, that makes a lot of sense to me. Then also, you know, for the Raiders, I think they're in the best position. You're seeing the Niners and the Raiders' names being mentioned as the teams to pick up Antonio Brown. Well, the Raiders actually have a higher pick in the second round than the Niners. They got the 3rd overall pick in the second round, number 35, where the Niners got the number 36. And even then, if somebody wants to jump ahead of the Raiders, I still see the Raiders being able to go up and give away that 27th pick for Amari Cooper to get Antonio Brown. Now, logically, I would be opposed to that because that would then, you know, the advantage of a first-round pick, you get that fifth-year option, you know. But, you know, these day and age, you know, especially after we seen the stunt that Mac pulled last year, you know, nobody seemed to care when Khalil Mack did not play under the fifth-year option. You know, he held out. And I know that really bothered Mark Davis because he stated it in an article to Paul Gutierrez. So, you know, the idea that you can't spend a first-round pick on Antonio Brown because, you know, you're losing that flexibility for the contract, that fifth-year option.
Great stuff right there. Richard from Stockton, Central Valley Raider, Raider Joe and KC, and, of course, Nico in North Jersey. Brother Marquise from the 305 rep in Miami. Tom from Escondido. JC Raider from Utah. And John Train from the ATL, the first-time caller. Appreciate all those calls on today's episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up on tomorrow's show, Friday's episode, it's going to be a big show. If you remember, on Wednesday, I talked about getting Derek Carr on the show and that we need to do that and someone make the call and all that good stuff. Well, he's not going to call in. He's not going to be on the show. I'm not interviewing him myself. But my guy, Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN in Fresno, he actually had Derek Carr on his show Wednesday evening talking about a variety of subjects. So CGP, as he goes by, is a really, really good dude. He told me he emailed the interview to me so I could share it with Raider Nation on this podcast. So we'll have the entire interview, my man Christopher Gabriel, with Raiders starting quarterback Derek Carr on Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, amongst a lot of other things as well. So definitely want to shout out 940 ESPN in Fresno. Shout out my man Christopher Gabriel for supplying me with this interview. He didn't have to do that, but he's a real good dude. I've been on his station, on his show a lot of times. He's been on my station, on my show before. It's all love, man, and he knows how Raider Nation gets down and that they want to hear from QB1. So on Friday's episode, Raider Nation, you will hear what Derek Carr had to say on CGP's show, the Christopher Gabriel program from 940 ESPN, amongst other things. So look forward to that. Enjoy your Thirsty Thursday, because you know your boy will. That's how we get down. Until next time, as always, Raider Nation, just win, baby.